that sent the word, John 6:66-69. I'm going to read from the New King James. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" The son of Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. For we have come to believe, to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And let's also go to chapter 12:48-50. "He who rejects me and does not receive my words, as that which judges him, the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I shall say and what I shall speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." God is the righteous judge. God is the righteous judge. God is the righteous judge. Psalm 7:11 says God is the righteous judge. He is the righteousness, and he does righteous deeds. And by that righteousness, he judges the living and the dead. That's what makes him the righteous judge. So our faith is acknowledging him. And if you have this faith, your life is in order for you to be ready in the last day, when the first heaven and earth will pass away and a new earth, new heaven will be opened. In order to enter the new land and new heaven and have eternal life, it is to remain in the righteousness. In other words, that is to receive the words of Christ as commandment and obeying. So to receive the words of Jesus Christ as commandment and obeying. Psalm 336. Let's also look at 336 as well. "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So believing, obeying is the same thing. Believing the Son and obeying the Son is the same. Not believing the Son, not obeying the Son are the same thing. So when we believe in the Son, it is to receive his words as commandment. Understand? So then we have to obey his words. So that's why you have to pay attention to the word. This is a deciding message. I was going to preach this next week, and next week you're celebrating anniversary, and you guys are going to be dancing and singing and doing your own thing. So you are going to only think about yourself and your part. So I decided to preach this heavy message today, and at the risk of confusing and maybe challenging newcomers today. Maybe some people are going to say, "If this is what this church is about, then I'm not going to come anymore." And then I understand. It's fine with me. I want to encourage all of you, more importantly, to listen to it seriously and make decisions. For there are the words of everlasting life, the words of eternal life are here. So you have to hear them and receive them and obey. So you have to think, if not eternal life, then what? So if your faith is not eternal life, then what? It is hell. So believe in the Son, believe in Yeshua, and have everlasting life, or not believe and go to hell. Which one or the other? So whether it is through all the Sunday services, service sermons, or Logos words, you're going to be able to organize it today and decide. So when you think about eternal life, people think it not wanted. If you tell people, you know, you can live a long life, they will pay attention to you. People say, you go to this one place, like South Asia, there are a lot of snakes, and snakes will give you long life. All the Korean people went there and put the snakes out of, put them into extinction because they ate them all. So people like long life. But eternal life or everlasting life, people don't want that. And all the more, if obedience is what's required to have eternal life, then people all the more don't want that. In the modern times, many developed countries or societies have nuclear families, and they consist of only child. China certainly being one, and many other countries, even Korea too. So as they raise their only daughter, only son, they pretty much spoil them, and they don't discipline them at all. So they never hear anything they don't want to hear. So even if when they go to school, and when school teachers try to discipline them, then the student gets upset, and students tell their parents, and the parents go to the school and complain. I said, how dare you tell my kids what to do, or how dare you raise your voice? And I heard that in Korea, moms actually follow their sons to the military when they have to do military service, and they complain to their supervisor if the supervisor disciplines their son, and they say, I know your boss because my husband is friends with your boss, and I will tell him about you, and you'll be in trouble. Well, my dad, everywhere in these times, people are not, people don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be commanded. However, when it comes to the word of God in eternal life, we must receive his words as commandment. Otherwise, there's no eternal life. What the Bible tells us is that. So it starts with the creation, and the way the creation of the world took place was not by hands, but by his word. He commanded all things to come, and all things came to existence by his word. So they are the result. They're the fruit of God's word being fulfilled, being obeyed. So when God created all things, he created the invisible things and the visible things. He made the angels, and he made humans. He made man to be a living being, so that the living being is made up of the flesh, but also the spirit. And having these dual beings is called a living being. And the living being has dual free will. So to obey or not obey, it is up to his choice. So he has the freedom to choose to obey or not. So that is also called the perfection of the created. Ezekiel 28:12, it says, you are blameless, or you are perfect, the perfection of the created, and that is a duality of free will, the free will, which is to obey or not obey. So that is something that was given to not just human, but also the angels before men. Now, the angels were created before mankind, and among them was an archangel named Luciel. And then later he's called Lucifer, or Satan, because this angel in his heart said, I will be like God. So in his heart, he decided to change his heart. In his heart, he wanted to be like God. And according to their hearts, he decided to leave his proper position, proper domain. And the moment he did that, God, until the great day of judgment, contained this angel in Hades. Isaiah 14:12-15 says that. And 2 Peter 2:4 and Jude 1:6, they all say that until the judgment day, or the great day of judgment, God contained them, contained the fallen angels, contained these angels who left their proper positions. So then you can ask the question, why is it that God didn't deal with these angels when they sinned in the spiritual heaven? Why didn't he deal with the rebellious angel, archangel Lucifer? Why didn't he send him to the fire right away? Why wasn't he judged and punished immediately? Why does it say that until the great day of judgment? So that is a very important point. So when you look very carefully there, that angel never received commandment. There was no commandment for that angel. He was created to praise God, praise the glory of God, and glorify him. However, the angel was never given specific commandment. God is not going to punish his use of his free will. It has to be based on the obedience to his commandment. And there was no commandment. And as a result, God didn't judge him or punish him, but until the judgment day, God contained him in Hades. Ho Hades, or Sheol, which is the universe where we live. So in that same space, God made Adam. By breathing into him, he became a living being. So in the Garden of Eden, God allowed him to eat from any of the trees except from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But in the day he eats of it, he shall surely die, God said. So do not eat, God said. So here is the very first commandment that God gives to the created. It is God's law. God's commandment is God's law. And this is the very first time we see in the Bible where God is giving commandment. And he gave a consequence of breaking the commandment, which is that he would surely die. So we see his punishment declared for the sinner. This is a very, very important part. It's a big deal because from here, we see the history of the universe continuing and how it will end. So this is how it begins, how it continues, and how it will end with this commandment, okay? So when Adam is given this commandment, he wasn't alone. Of course, the woman comes from the man Adam, but there was also a serpent, a snake, that her God's commandment given to Adam. And he deceives the woman first, but through her, he would deceive Adam. And that is that they will not surely die, even if they were to take this forbidden fruit. He convinced them that they would not surely die. So the woman took the fruit first, and then the woman Eve gave it to Adam, and Adam ate that fruit. And the result was, even though his flesh was alive, his spirit, Adam, died. So Adam means living being, and that's the spirit inside the flesh. 1 Corinthians 12:22, it says that one man sinned and all men died. For Adam sinned, all men died, and that is the spirit of all men. So when you look around the world today, there are a lot of people. Still babies are being born, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, twins, triplets, and so on. So the flesh lives on and multiplies and continues. However, the spirit died the moment Adam disobeyed the commandment of God. In that state of being dead in the spirit, all men continue in their history. And down the road, God called a man named Noah, and it was in his time God decided to wipe out or blot out all creatures, all men, wipe them off from the face of the land. So that was, now before the flood takes place, the Bible describes the earth to be filled with wickedness. That it was, God was so terrible that God had no expectation from mankind in the world. So we can really think about that for a second, because wickedness filled the earth and every inclination of man, his thought was filled with wickedness. God decided to wipe out all men from the face of the land by a deluge, by a flood. Now, if it says that the world was filled with wickedness, that is sin, then you have to ask, then you have to go back to that principle. For there to be sin, there has to be law, right? And law or commandment was there first, and then anyone breaking it is called committing sin. And because of the sin, that he is judged and punished. But in the time of Noah, was there any commandment from God? The spiritual state was that whether they knew it or not, all men were dead in sin, in the spirit. However, did they have commandment from God in the time? No, there was no commandment. Still, the Bible describes, God says that the world was filled with sin, that they were filled with wickedness. So people wonder, is it because of that original sin, or is it because of that they were doing all these lustful, carnal things that God wiped them away? I mean, this is very complicated for some of you who have not done Logos, but if you can follow. 1 Peter 3:19. Let's read that. By whom also he ran preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, and with few, that is, 8 souls were saved through water. So, talking about Jesus, after he died, third day after his death, he was resurrected. So, where did Jesus go after he died? He went to paradise, but he also went to the spirits in prison. So, the people from the time of Adam until commandment, which is the time people of Noah, in the time of Noah, who did not receive commandment from God, they, because they had the original sin in their spirit, they were dead in spirit, they were in prison, which is referred to as a spiritual prison. So that spiritual prison was where Jesus went after he died. And when he died, he redeemed, he paid the price of sin. So he paid the price of sin of all men in his time and in the time to come, but also the time before, and to share this good news with the spirits of these people who were from the time of Adam and Noah, because they did not know it, Jesus went to preach to them. It says they did not obey, right, in 1 Peter 3:19 there, but he went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient. What did they not obey then? Okay? So 2 Peter 2:5, it says, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of 8 people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood of the world of the ungodly. Again, they had to have commandment to be disobedient to or obedient to. So what is it that they were disobedient? So in the time of Noah, once Noah was warned about the flood that was coming, he preached. So as we just read, Noah preached. So what did Noah preach? What do you think Noah preached about? Noah preached about the judgment that was coming, which is the flood. Prepare the way. Prepare to be saved. That is the ark. Build the ark. But these people disobeyed that. So these disobedient people were in the spiritual prison after Jesus died. In the 3 days he was dead, he went to paradise. actually also went to the districts in prison to preach to them so they would hear it and be saved. So after Noah and in the time of Moses, God then gave specific commandment to the people of Israel to obey. And these commandments are referred to as the law of fleshly commandments. There were the Ten Commandments, but there were also 613 points, or the 613 commandments. Even if one were to keep the majority of it, once they break one, they break all. James says that. And this is because the law, as Hebrews 7:16 says, is the law of a fleshly commandment. It was dealt with by the flesh, the punishment on the flesh. So when one disobeys in the flesh, was punished in the flesh, was killed in the flesh. So when the people of Israel were brought out of Egypt and were led through the wilderness of 40 years under the leadership of Moses, and they were given the law by 40 years, only two survived, and a new generation of the people enter the promised land. And the reason why all the people but two died, including Moses and Aaron, in the desert, was because they were disobedient. They disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. So, as you know about Moses, he was commanded to strike rock to let water out, but he was so angry at the people on behalf of God, you know. But he said, "Do you think God will bring water out for you?" And he struck it twice, and the water came out. And what was decided then, or revealed, was that Moses was disobedient to the commandment of the Lord. So even though it seems so small, and to the person who's hearing it or receiving it, may not be a big deal, but to the one who is commanding it, this is a big deal. Like an analogy, be a gift. Maybe the receiver doesn't think it's a big deal, but the person who's preparing the gift, who's buying it, who's thinking about the person they want to give to, it's a big deal. So the one who's giving the commandment, he considers it very seriously. So the temple of the sanctuary was a place where they were to remember how the Lord commanded them, and because there was the name of the Lord God and the stone tablets inside the ark. So when they looked at the temple, they remembered the commandment of the Lord, and they remembered that they were a people who had to live by the commandment of the Lord. In spite of it, however, it was very difficult for them to keep. So 1 Samuel 2:15, it says that because they disobeyed the commandment of the Lord, they were struck by him. Do you know why you lost your battle? Do you know why you lost all your possessions? Do you know why you were taken as exile? Why you were struck by your enemies? It's because you disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. All the disasters, all the calamities, all the plagues that they, and the defeat that they experienced in their history was because their disobedience to the commandment of the Lord. Yet, because the temple was before them, temple stood in their midst, they did not lose their hope. They did not lose the faith that the Lord would not abandon them, that as long as they give sacrifice in the temple, that the Lord will be with them, and furthermore, they would restore their kingdom one day, that the curse that they were under would be broken one day, because the temple was there, and as long as they tried to obey. And before the temple, who said what? It was Yeshua who said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Think about how the Jews must have heard this. If you think about their sins, you never see in the history of the Old Testament anyone saying such thing about the temple. So how could someone like that expect to live after making such a statement to say, destroy the temple of God? Because the temple was where the name of the Lord God was, and it was where the commandment of the Lord was. So they obviously considered Yeshua to be punished, to be put to death, as anyone who breaks the commandment, any of the commandments, was to be put to death. They considered him to be blasphemous. However, Yeshua not only said to serve his temple, but he also said, "I will raise it again in 3 days." And the temple he was referring to as the temple of his body, as John 2:19 on describes. Again, what was inside the temple? The name of the Lord, Jehovah, of the Old Testament, and also the stone tablets that represent the law, commandments of the Lord. So here's Yeshua saying, destroy this temple. He wasn't saying, however, who cares about the commandments? You don't need them anymore. That's not what he was saying, because tear it down and I will raise it up again. So it meant that he wasn't going to get rid of commandments. He was going to give them new commandments, referring to the temple of his body. He was talking about his death and his resurrection, because his body is the temple of God, and in it was the name of God. In it was the commandment of God. Two things. What is it? The name and the commandment. Say it loudly. The name of God and the commandment of God. So the name, the words of God, the commandments of God. So when Yeshua said, destroy this temple, he's referring to the death of the temple of his body. And 3 days after that, he would be resurrected. So in that body would be the name of God. Which name would that be? The name of the Father. The name Yeshua would be there in that temple. And it would be the commandment from the Father. So what he was saying was, could be put in this way. The commandment that Jehovah gave you, if you obey, you might not be killed, but you still cannot have eternal life. But the Son of Man came to give his life, to obey the commandment of the Father. And after his death, he would be resurrected. And after his resurrection, he himself will give commandment. And when you obey his commandment, you will have eternal life. So again, what he was also referring to is that the time is now, the time of the Old Testament, where the name Jehovah gave the commandments to the people of Israel, would be over. Now, in the name Yeshua, new commandment will be given. A new time has come. Now, in the time of Yeshua, he and his disciples went up to the mount, and he transfigured one night. Matthew 17, it tells about that. So he transfigured, and he was brilliant. He was shining like the sun, and the disciples were very impressed, and they were so mesmerized about what they were saying. There was a voice from heaven saying, listen to him, meaning the Son. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah, who were there next to him, next to Yeshua, were gone. It was just Yeshua there. And the voice from heaven said, now you listen to him. Not Moses, not Elijah, but Yeshua. So then we go to John 12:47. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. For I, that is referring to the Son of Man, the God who came as man, the God who came in the flesh. So here he is saying that I did not come to judge, but the word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. So it is for those who reject him and his and not receive his word. So here's Yeshua, the Son of Man, saying that I have come in the flesh, and that's why I came, and I came to die in the flesh. That's why he wasn't going to judge. But the words that he would speak would judge them in the end. And we continue, verse 49, and I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. And I know that his command is everlasting life, therefore whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, I speak. So this is the Father's commandment. So when we receive the words of the Father, or the commandment of the Father, and obey the commandment, then we will receive eternal life. So to receive his word as command, to receive his word as command and obey, then eternal life is given. So it is only for those who receive his command. So he spoke, or he would speak on his words as command. And we see a glimpse of that in his public life, shadow of that. So those who are demon-possessed started speaking and revealing themselves. And Yeshua said, you unclean spirit, come out of him. You unclean spirit, get out. And the unclean spirit or demon would obey him. Unclean spirits are the spirits or the souls of those who did not believe, and they died with their sin. So when they lose the flesh after they die, the spirit now knows everything in the sense that who Yeshua is, they know. So even though they're unclean spirits, they're to obey the command of Yeshua. So even as unclean spirits, when Yeshua commanded, they obeyed him. So today, those who do not obey the command of Christ are worse than demons. Think about that. Another time, the disciples and Yeshua were out in the sea in a boat, and there was a storm, and they were about to be capsized. They were about to sink. So they cried out to him when he was asleep on the boat. He wakes up, and he looks out to the sea, and he says, be calm, be quiet, be still. And the waves and the winds die down. Even the sea obeyed, the winds obeyed, the waves obeyed him. Furthermore, a man named Lazarus had died, and he had been in the grave and dead for 4 days. And there was odor coming out of the grave because his body started to decay. But Yeshua said to them, you will see the glory of God, and he told them to move the stone. And he called out to the dead man, Lazarus, come out. And men who had been dead for days came out, still bound, and obeyed. was about him commanding, and unclean spirits, the sick, even the dead, obey. Even the sea obey. So those who were around him, like the disciples, would ask a question like, who is this man? Who is he that even the winds and the waves obey him? Who is he? He is the maker of the heavens and the earth. He is the creator. So the disciples followed him, and they witnessed and experienced all the miracles that he performed, and they were so excited, and they were so happy, and they wanted more people to come see him, more people to know him and be impressed. Perhaps they even thought, you know, Yeshua could be their king and restore their kingdom one day. They probably tried to recruit more people to follow. However, as time went on, he was no longer popular. This is all recorded in John 6. Eat my flesh and drink my blood and you will receive life. So when people were hearing this, they were so confused. They were like, is he saying that we are cannibals? And we're confused. So they realized his teaching was not practical. They could not understand. So they started leaving. So here's Peter saying, he's looking around and going, oh my God, why are people leaving? How come we're not growing? We're shrinking. Think about that in church. Instead of growing, that you start shrinking. You get very anxious. You get uneasy. And here's Yeshua turning to his disciples. Say, are you going to go away? Do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go? So the words of eternal life is what Peter said as a result of having seen all the signs that Yeshua performed. And when he saw all these things happen, he realized that Yeshua is God, that all things obey him, that he must be the maker, the creator, the ruler of all things. That's why he said what he said. So the words of Yeshua are the words of eternal life. Amen? Let's say it together. The words of Yeshua are the words of eternal life. Then, what that means for us is that how should we receive, how should we apply those words of eternal life in our lives? We must receive the words of eternal life as the commandment. The words of Yeshua are the words of eternal life, correct? So when we obey the command, the words of eternal life, or the words of Yeshua, we receive eternal life. This is how we started the sermon. So when do they give us eternal life? When they're given as command, as given in the form of commandment, or command, when we obey the command, then we receive eternal life. So this has to be one formula. The words of Yeshua are the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life, the words of Yeshua, are to be received as the command, and then receive eternal life. Eternal life is important because if not, the other option, right? Some people say, I don't want to live long life. I don't want that. It doesn't matter. We're going to die. But after we die, what we're talking about, in the life after death, right? In the life after death, you either will have eternal life or hell. Why is eternal life important? Because there is hell. And the words of eternal life are the words of Yeshua. And how do you receive the words of Yeshua? You obey those words as command. Then you receive eternal life. So when he died, he said, it is finished. So when Yeshua died, he said, it is finished. What did he finish? He finished. He completed the task of obeying the command of the Father. So in John 10:18, he said, this is the command that he received from the Father, that he is to lay down his life. So his death and his resurrection, to lay down his life and to take it up again, was the command he received from the Father. In other words, the cross was the Father's command for the Son. So he came to obey the command to die, the command for him to lay down his life. All right, so then let's go to Philippians 2:6. So as it says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So only when he would go to the cross and be obedient to the point of death, the death on the cross, he would be raised back to life. He would resurrect. And in verse 9, it says, therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So when he himself, when Yeshua obeyed the Father's command to the point of death, he put all things in subjection to submit before him, Yeshua himself. Therefore, he received all authorities to now command himself. We talked about Lucifer in the beginning, and when he was Luciel, was he given any command or commandment. He did not have any commandment to obey in heaven. But when did he then commit the sin that would be judged according to the law or according to the commandment? That was in the Garden of Eden. Okay? So in the Garden of Eden, God commanded Adam to not take fruit, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the one who led him to disobey was the serpent, that is the devil, Satan. Right? So he is not the one who took the fruit, but he deceived the man through the woman to disobey. So he was contained, the angel Lucifer was contained in Hades until this moment when the law would come, the commandment would come to Adam, so that Adam would be deceived to kill him. Because when Adam disobeyed the commandment of God, right, he died, right? Because God said, if you take this fruit, you will surely die. And because the serpent said, you will not surely die, he lied to him. And because of the lie, Adam took the fruit, and his spirit died. So around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the first Adam died because he disobeyed the commandment, because he was deceived by the devil. He was deceived that he wasn't going to die, right? So he took the fruit. But in reality, he died. His spirit died. Because the first Adam died, the last Adam was obedient to the point of death. He was obedient to the point of death because of the event around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And at that moment, Yeshua, the Son, is now declared to be the righteousness. His one act of laying down his life willingly, obeying the Father's command, was then revealed as the one act of righteousness. Do you understand? Romans 5:18, that's what it's referred to as one act of righteousness. That one act of righteousness was to be obedient to death. And through his obedience to death, whom did he judge? Becoming that law himself, who did he judge? Who did Yeshua judge? He judged the devil. The devil who led Adam to die, the first Adam to die. And he also caused the last Adam to die, because as Adam died as a result of first Adam. Okay, let's look at Romans 5:18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's disobedience many will be made righteous. The disobedience of one man is referring to the first Adam's disobedience that brought death to the spirit of all men. But then the one man's obedience, one act of righteousness, that is his obedience, is referring to what the last Adam, Yeshua, did. He obeyed the Father's command, and the moment he obeyed to the point of death, he was revealed as the righteousness, which means the law, that through him, his death, his obedience, the devil was judged, finally. So he died, but in 3 days, he was raised back to life. Yeshua resurrected, and as he was ascending to heaven, he said, all authorities of heaven and earth, as Matthew 28:19 says, have been given me. So all authorities of heaven and earth means he is the King of kings, the King of all, the King of righteousness. Does everyone want to become a king? Because a king, a commander, a king commands. And the King of Kings is the greatest commander of all. So from the throne in heaven, he began to command. Now, many people are still confused. They misunderstand about Yeshua. Many churches still have the crucifix, right? Like the Catholics have that in the cathedral. Even in Protestant Christian churches, many of them have the cross hanging in the building. And some people come to our church and say, I knew something was wrong with this church. There is no cross in the building. So many people think of Yeshua as still hanging on the cross. But that's in the past. He died, but he resurrected. And he ascended to heaven, ascended to the throne in heaven. And he is the King of Kings. So the Holy Spirit came to testify this, to reveal this to the believers today. So when the Holy Spirit came, this time or this age or era is called the era of grace. There are three parts. The first is the era of deity consciousness, and then there is the era of sacrifice, and then there is the era of the law, which is from the time of Moses to Jesus. And then after Jesus died and resurrected and the Holy Spirit came, era of grace came. Now, each era has its own commandment. In the era of deity consciousness, there was no commandment. So after they died, even though they had the original sin, they did not have any law to condemn them because they did not have any commandment. So Jesus went to them and preached to them. So they were disobedient because they did not hear the preaching of Noah, and they did not follow Noah's preaching about preparing the ark, right? So when Yeshua came and preached to them, they heard and they were saved. Now in the Arab sacrifice, what kind of commandment did they have? The Arab sacrifice was before the time of the law of Moses, or the law of God, coming to the people of Israel. In the time of Arab sacrifice, the commandment was to not eat blood, right? To not take blood. And this is including the time of Abraham, Lot, of Sodom and Gomorrah. But then the Arab law had many commandments, right, under the law of Moses. So in the time of Yeshua, before he died, what kind of commandment did they have? It was for them to believe, right? The gospel that Yeshua declared or preached was to believe him, believe the message about the kingdom of heaven. So the thief who died next to Jesus, did he have commandment? Or was he saved, first of all? And he was, because Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise today. So how was he saved? He did nothing wrong all his life that brought him to die on a cross next to Jesus. But he believed in Jesus because until that time, especially the time of Jesus, they were to believe. And if they believed in Jesus, they were saved. There was no other commandment. But after he died and resurrected and went to heaven, the Holy Spirit came. And this is the time of grace, the era of grace, the era of the Holy Spirit, if you will. And also, now, when you hear that phrase, the era of grace, it sounds really free, right? Lawless and being not bound by anything. However, when you hear the era of the church, then it's different. It's more restricting because, yes, there are commandments here by the Holy Spirit. So what is the church? Today's sermon's title says the church. The church has the words of eternal life. In other words, the church has the words of Yeshua. In other words, the church has the words of Yeshua as command and have eternal life. The body of the church is, the head of the church is Christ, and the head commands. So when you have an itch, right? So when you have an itch in your hand, the one that is receiving the information and feels that it's itchy is the head. It's your brain, right? And the other hand scratching it is because your brain commanded the other hand to go to that hand and scratch it. So it all comes from the head. So the church is a place where the command of Christ is spoken. The command of Christ is communicated or received, right? If not, then it's not church. If a church does not declare the command of Christ, it's not a church. And it's also not a church if it does not receive the command of Christ. Do you understand? Until this point, all this in-depth explanation about the plan of God is for us to come to this point. Why should you keep on coming to church? Specifically, keep on coming to Church of Jesus. It's because the church has the words of eternal life, the words of Yeshua. For a church to be church, it must deliver the words of Yeshua as a command that leads eternal life. It's not a place where you expect entertainment and make people feel better about themselves. That is fraud. That is a lie. The church is rather a place where the words of Yeshua are delivered accurately by convoys. In the military, there are convoys. There are the ones who are delivering, as is the delivering. And as well, the Apostle Paul says, should I please men? I'm a servant of Christ. If I please men, I am not a servant of Christ. So the preacher does not please men, does not preach to please men. The preacher is someone who preaches to lead men, to lead believers to obey the command of Christ. So the 1 Timothy 4 says, to obey. Until the Lord returns, you are to obey the command of Christ. What's the first commandment? It's baptism in the name of Yeshua. It's not because it's a Baptist church that we be baptized. We get baptized because it is given, it's a commandment that he gave in his name. So after he resurrected, the very first commandment Yeshua gave, after having received all authorities of heaven and earth, he said, be baptized in the name of Yeshua. People say, do I have to be baptized? Because Yeshua obeyed, as he commanded. If we receive his command, we are to receive it as eternal life. That's why we are baptized. Some people say, well, what about the thief? The thief next to Yeshua. He was not baptized, but he still went to heaven, right? When Yeshua died, he did not command baptism. When he died as an atoning sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And the thief recognized him for that. And because of that, he believed. So the thief never, he was never given commandment, but he saw Yeshua as the Lamb of God. So that's what he believed, and he was saved as a result of that. Now, when the Lord comes back, however, would he be able to see him? Would he participate in the first resurrection? The first resurrection, by definition, is for those who are beheaded for the word of God and for the testimony of Yeshua. So the thief cannot come out to the first resurrection, but he was saved. He went to paradise because he believed, having no commandment to obey. But now, by the Holy Spirit, in the church era, we are given number one commandment. Let's be baptized in the name of Yeshua. And as the commander of all, as the king of all, Yeshua obeyed that. And it's not to be sprinkled or not to aspersion or fusion or some version of pouring or spraying over the head, but it's to be immersed completely underwater, in water. And that's to be united with Christ in his death and his resurrection. That's what baptism is about. What we need to think about here is then, in our time, right, there are people who say they receive the Holy Spirit and they experience the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they even speak in tongues. But the church does not baptize by immersion, or the person is not baptized. But they say they speak in tongues, or they think they believe they receive the Holy Spirit. That there may be such people, yes, who might have not been baptized in the water, but they might be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Cornelius in the Bible, and even Paul, they received the Holy Spirit first. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit first, but they were baptized with water. So even though there was a time gap in time between receiving the Holy Spirit and receiving the baptism in water, whether you do it before or after, you must receive the commandment and obey. That is, be baptized with water. What about people who are baptized here in Church of Jesus, but they leave Church of Jesus? They go to a church that does not baptize. They go to a Presbyterian church, a Methodist church. What about those people? That means they do not see the value. They do not understand the meaning of their baptism that they received. That means their baptism is nullified. The Bible says, when one is a man who is circumcised, but he is with uncircumcised. So, you know, in the times of the law, they were not even supposed to eat together, eat with people who are uncircumcised. Right? So there's a time in Galatians, in the book of Galatians, where Peter was eating with the uncircumcised Christians. And when the circumcised group came in, Peter hid himself because he did not want to be seen as eating with a circumcised man, eating with uncircumcised people. So, like that. If you are baptized in water, immersed in the water in his name, and you go to a church that does not baptize, then your baptism has no meaning. You're under a pastor who does not baptize, who is not baptizing, or is not baptized, then the baptism that you receive is nullified. So I've already preached many, many times on the importance of baptism, so we'll move on. Oh, another note regarding baptism is that why can't other forms be accepted, like sprinkling, the christening, which is in the form of spraying the water over the, or sprinkling over the head of a baby, infant baptism. So who commanded that? Constantine, the Roman emperor, who is considered really the father of the Roman Catholic Church, or the Pope. He never received a command from Christ. That's the command of the Pope, or the Catholic Church, or the emperor. They never started with the first commandment of Christ, which is baptism. They don't start with the first commandment. There's no guarantee for eternal life. Another commandment is Hebrews 10:25, as the day is approaching, put every effort to gather. Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be. And that gathering is done on the Lord's day. And on the Lord's day, we come together in the church as members of the body and observe that day, the Lord's day. Third, we're going to talk about tithe. Matthew 23:23. What I'm so thankful for, especially today, is that some years ago, only a handful of people were giving tithe. They were tithing in EM members. But now there were 60 or more people tithing because after doing logos, they're obeying. So I'm so grateful for them. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For you pay tithe of mint, anise, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Yes, these are the words of Yeshua. I've seen on YouTube, however, they said, if there's a pastor who stresses and puts up tithing, they're going to go to hell. And some YouTuber put up that nonsense. But tithing was something that, and still is, upheld by Jews. They're very sensitive about material things, giving and receiving. Here is Yeshua saying, tithing is important. You should do it. But what's important is that you must do it, not losing the heart of it, which is justice, mercy, faith. That you need to have these matters of the law. You need to have that heart and tithe. Whose command is this? This command is the command of Yeshua, the command that leads to eternal life. Your words are eternal life. Prayer is also his command. In his time, he said, pray. John 14, 13, 15, however, he said, if you pray, if you ask, I will do. So it was not really in clear command form, but the apostles in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 says, pray, do not cease prayer. Among the commandments that the apostles gave, there were those that they carried from the commandment or command of Christ, but there are also commandments the apostles themselves gave. So, for example, like the apostle would say, in my opinion and my thought and what I see about dealing with marriage and things like the matters of family, this is what I'll say. So that would be the apostolic commandment. But the command of Christ is prayer. And the apostle, like Paul, would say it, stress it strongly. So pray. Do not cease praying. Do not stop praying. Always pray. Number five, holy commandment is what he gave, which is to be holy. Just as the one who called you is holy, you must be holy. 1 Corinthians 5:11 and 1 Peter 1:15. That you must no longer live all life, idolatry, drunkenness, and envy, jealousy, all of the old deeds of the old life you must put away. If you were to go back to the old way, which 2 Peter 2:20 says, it would be like a dog returning to its vomit. So as someone who has been called by the Holy One, you must live your life holy, sanctified life. And lastly, you must preach the word. You must preach the gospel. Not only that, but also correct, rebuke, and encourage by teaching. So preaching the gospel is to unbelievers, but to the souls that we have been given, we must teach them. And the teaching is for correcting, rebuking, and encouraging. When we obey these commandments, we remain in the righteousness. And when we remain in the righteousness, we are brought in to dwell in his righteousness. So let's to summarize today's sermon is that the words of Yeshua are the words of eternal life. They are the command of Yeshua. So you have to make a decision. Am I going to keep, you know, the commandments that I just shared with you now are just sample. These are the most important heavy ones. But there are so many more. All these commandments, we must receive them as commandment of eternal life. And I encourage you to put every effort to obey them so that you will not go to hell, but go to heaven, be saved, and have eternal life in that day. Let's pray. Let's pray together. If you do not believe that you're a soul, if you do not believe that Jesus resurrected, or that you do not believe that Jesus did not say any of these words, then stand up. You don't need to kneel down. If you don't believe that, because it would not matter. Yeah, nothing will matter. Even if you kneel down and pray, if you don't believe in that, there's no point. However, if you acknowledge all that, then you have to be humble and ask the Lord to help you understand that for your soul to not go to hell, that you willingly choose to obey and submit yourself to his command. Pray, Yeshua!